Well, let's look at his word, shall we? I invite you to turn in your Bibles or look on the screen. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 10. And then we're going to unpack this wonderful portion of God's word today with kind of a Christmas twist. This is Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And it says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. How are you doing Christmas? What I mean by that, are you kind of frazzled and rushed, or do you have the joy and peace that Christmas is intended to bring? In many ways, this Bible story is a metaphor for two approaches to life, two approaches to serving God, two approaches, if you will, to Christmas, although it's not specifically a Christmas text. I've chosen this because today's text really helps us. It helps us. It focuses our attention and our hearts on that which would counter the spirit-numbing rush of the season or of our approach to life. And of course, it's not about fasting per se, but what it tells us is about a kind of reset of priorities and slowing down and focusing on Jesus that are the very things that we might focus on when we fast. So here are two women. We are familiar with this story, many of us. But let's think of it about two approaches to life, to serving, to Christmas. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. We know this is the village of Bethany, just a short distance outside of Jerusalem. You can see John chapter 11 for more details on that village and Mary and Martha, etc. But here we're introduced to a woman named Martha who welcomed Jesus into her house. And of course, both these dear women were followers of Jesus. They loved the Lord and were learning and growing and following the Lord. So if you believe in Jesus and love the Lord and want to follow the Lord, then you know you're in the Mary and Martha circle here. She had a sister called Mary. Luke's gospel tells us of this event, yes, but the event is a teaching moment. Clearly, this is instruction for us in our discipleship. So we need to tune in as followers of Jesus and look at Martha, look at Mary, look at approach one, look at approach two. And what do we take away from that as Jesus' message for us in our hearts? Our series is Christmas Fast, which is to counter the rush. And we've been proposing a consideration of fasting as a way to slow down and focus on the Lord. Whether you fast or don't fast, we certainly are inviting you strongly and issuing the call to participate in the 21 days of prayer, which we begin January 3rd. And the purpose of this is not to give you one more thing to do. The purpose of this is for our church to be unified around seeking the Lord and the advance of the work of the Lord in us, the advance of the embracing of the word of the Lord by us, the advancing of that work and that word through us, so that more people might know and follow him. And some of you, if you haven't been with us, may wonder, what is this fasting thing? We've talked about this for a few weeks here. Now it is giving up something for a period of time in order to focus on the Lord. That could be food. That might be something else. And all of this is connected to sort of something intensifying. As I was having a discussion with a team of our leaders, we sort of concluded that fasting is sort of like a supercharging component. If you look at it in the scripture, it supercharges prayer, it supercharges intercession, it supercharges seeking God, it supercharges worship. It doesn't sort of bring some magic in by itself, but it's a way of saying, Lord, I'm really in on this. And God, in his work by his Spirit, leads his people to do this, motivated by grace, voluntarily. It's not a have to, it's an I get to, because I want that supercharged kind of experience. And that's what fasting is. So we're considering today, at Christmas and in fasting, avoid the Martha approach and adopt the Mary approach. And Jesus' response here tells us, of course, what matters most. What matters most this Christmas. It's not all that stuff that we think we got to do. It is Jesus and his word. We're going to see that. What matters most in life? It's not all those things. And this is not saying that we shouldn't work, we shouldn't serve, we shouldn't have goals and priorities. We should. But what is most important is Jesus. And the way we pursue those things is a lot of what this passage is addressing. We'll talk more about that. The priority is Jesus. It's time with him. It's time listening to his word. And that's what we are exhorted by this passage to choose and to walk in. Martha's frustration is the focus of verse 40. And it seems quite ironic that Martha is calling Jesus Lord, that is, the one who is in charge and tells me what to do, and then telling him what to do. And this is what you ought to do, Lord. And we've probably all fallen into this in one way or another. Lord, you ought to have. And that's like, well, if he's Lord, then he's the one who decides. And we certainly have no right, although we may ask him humbly. But telling him what to do is, of course, off limits if he is, in fact, Lord. But nevertheless, Martha's frustration is clear when she says, as she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And many of us may have been in a moment like this where we're like somewhere, some context, somebody's not carrying their weight as we perceive it. And this is not a text to excuse laziness and irresponsibility, but it is sort of interesting that maybe many of us have been in this point at some way. Like, somebody's not doing something they ought to do, Lord. And perhaps one big takeaway is, maybe the biggest thing is, what ought you to be doing? Are you doing that for the Lord, led by the Lord, in the Lord? So if you're thinking right now something like, hey, this thing about Jesus focus and Bible stuff is great, but I don't have time for that, you need to hear this, because Jesus has a word for you. If you're thinking this whole thing about worshiping, gathering for worship, and that maybe in some age, sometime was a good thing, but I don't have time for that, you need to hear this message. Jesus has a word for you. If you're thinking, even as we're talking about 21 days of prayer and devotionals and more focus on prayer, et cetera, et cetera, and say, hey, that's great, Pastor Bruce, some of you do it, but I don't have time for that, you need to hear, all of us need to hear the word of Jesus. We need to hear what he's saying in response to Martha and her frustration, because he corrects her, yes, but I'd say he also corrects us. Correcting that thought process that says, I don't have time for that. And I'm sort of overwhelmed with the rush of all these things. And Jesus says to Martha, there it is, verse 41, we read it, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, notice the affection there in the double use of her name. You are anxious and troubled about many things. So there's something Martha's often, the Martha approach. We're going to talk more about that. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. There's definitely something really good about the Mary approach here that we all need. We're going to unpack these verses and consider those two approaches to life to serving God, and even to Christmas itself. Let's consider that God put this here for us. God put this here, not just say, hey, this thing happened, but instruct it for you and me today, 2021, on the cusp of going into a new year as we celebrate Christmas and may feel some sense of that Martha anxiety rush kind of thing, and like God saying, okay, there's maybe correction needed here. And this is not specifically about fasting. So most of the texts I've been using in this Christmas fast series have at least had some direct connection to fasting. This one has none. But this, I believe, is the very kind of reason we might fast. If we're like, Lord, please help me. My focus is this rushed busyness, Martha-like, not on you, Mary-like. And this might be, if you're wondering, well, what do I think about when I fast? What do I do when I fast? This might be the very kind of thing you say, Lord, help me, forgive me, help me turn from these things. Help me, empower me that I might embrace these things. This might be the very kind of content when you fast, and even if you don't fast, the very kind of content that will help you to slow down and focus on what's most important, which is the Lord Jesus. So we're going to consider this today. And just sort of backing up a little bit, if you got your Bible in front of you, and just think about, where does this fall? Where does this land in the flow of the book of Luke? And we have, you know, sometimes these connections of one thing to another, we have no necessarily direct connection. This seems to be one of those. Sometimes it says, and then, or because of this. But this comes right after the parable of the Good Samaritan. One possible connection is, hey, the parable of the Good Samaritan definitely presents serving. It's a high value of serving others in love, right? But this parable says, wait a second, or this story says, wait a second, that serving in love, it can become a distracted, anxious rush if not centered in love for Jesus first. This is a love for Jesus first kind of passage. Good Samaritan is a genuine love for neighbor kind of passage. Both come together. You can't have, if you just have loving neighbor without that love for Jesus, it's just humanistic, anxious activity. If you have that love for Jesus, which results in love for neighbor and serving that's primarily focused on love for Jesus, then of course that love is the right kind of love, true love for the Lord and for others. I'm pretty convinced of that connection. The connection to what follows is even more uncertain, though, which is what Jesus is presented as teaching next is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. So could this definite love for Jesus, focus on Jesus, also connect to our prayer life? And, of course, in Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, fasting is brought in as a part of that connection to supercharging prayer without doing that in a hypocritical manner. So whatever the case, this is here for our edification, loving God, loving others, growing in prayer, and let's look first at avoiding the Martha approach. Verse 40 here, which is a contrast with Mary, notes that Martha was distracted. She was distracted from time with Jesus. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And of course, many Bible verses teach the importance of hard work and serving. These are high values. We could list passages as long as your sleeve. The focus isn't to be lazy. The focus is the priority of time with Jesus. And Martha was distracted from that. Literally kind of allowing her attention to wander is the emphasis of the Greek. Have you ever noticed somebody, and this happened a lot more before having your cell phone on while driving was illegal, but I still see it now and again once now, and that's really a bad thing. But you never, like, you're driving behind somebody, like, what is he doing? What is she doing? Why are they doing this weird, weird stuff? And then you see, oh, there's the phone. They're distracted. They're trying to drive while distracted. And, of course, that's now against the law. They'll get a ticket. But a lot of Christians are sort of trying to serve Jesus, trying to do Christmas, trying to live life while distracted. They're not focused on the main thing. That's what this verse is addressing. That's what the Martha approach is. And avoiding the Martha approach then also includes not only not being distracted, it's also not being anxious about the to-do list. And of course, this one really feels pretty strong right about right now, at this time of year, with all the things we need to get done and haven't got done and are hurrying to get done, right? But here's a key, I think, is almost like the gauge on your car. And it's like, you know, if one of those lights comes on, it's telling you, hey, something's wrong. I can tell you something spiritually wrong. One test. It's a gauge. You know what it is? Anxiety. Anxiety. I don't care how much you got to do, how much your responsibilities are, how much the curveball is. I didn't know so-and-so was going to get sick and I get more work. I didn't know there'd be a traffic jam or whatever. When we have our eyes on Jesus, anxiety is in check. And when we don't, it's out of control. And Martha's anxiety is a gauge that registered something's wrong spiritually. The approach is not right. And ours is too. Jesus said, the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. This anxiety, where does it come from? It could be driven by a concern of what others think. Does my house look right? Is the meal good? You know, how much my capacity is or whatever and ever. We're not sure, but something is off here. Something is off. There's a focus that is on the list more than on the Lord of the list. All that you got to do more than the Lord who commissions us to do. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. I'm not saying there's not going to be some moments of frustration and surprise. But it's a recognition maybe of our limits under the Lord. And then our capacities in the Lord. It's a call to continue to focus on when that anxiety is raising up. Say, oh, engine light. Uh-oh. Get my eyes back on the Lord. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. According to the scriptures, this anxiety can have great negative spiritual consequences. I'm just saying. It's a reality we struggle with. It's a temptation we face. But one of those negative consequences, this word anxiety here, is the very word that shows up in Luke's version of the parable of the sower, when he talks about the cares of life, the anxieties of life causing unfruitfulness, choking out the word in our lives as believers, making us not be fruitful as believers. So this is not just some small thing, oh, I guess that's just kind of who I am. No, this is something we need to fight against. And the way we fight against it is the very cure being suggested here. It is by that focus on Jesus and the word. Take it to heart. Where you have that anxiety now and always as it pops its head up. Martha, by her approach here, was distracted. And her anxiety was an indicator of that. And furthermore, the Martha approach includes missing the priority of the word. Let's not miss this. Missing the priority of the word. Martha's approach and Jesus' rebuke to her there in verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. We'll talk more about Mary's choice in a bit. But Martha wasn't choosing that. Martha was pulled away and distracted from hearing the words that Jesus spoke. Are you giving attention to that word of Jesus? Or are you caught up in this, that, the other thing, and therefore setting it aside? We need that word daily. We need that word on an ongoing basis at Christmas and in our fasting and life and serving. And let's turn now to look at the Mary approach. Lord, help us to adopt this. This dear sister Martha certainly had many good qualities. And Jesus is not saying her service was a bad thing. He's saying her focus was off. But Mary, in this particular passage, epitomizes for us an approach. Let's ask God to give us that approach to Jesus in our lives and this Christmas. Even by her physical posture, Mary shows something of her heart. It was a love for Jesus, an honoring of him that she expressed. It says there in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet. She sat there before the Lord at his feet. This was a place that a disciple often took in recognition of the role and the honoring of the teacher. And of course, it's a proper role for us as followers of Jesus, because he's our King, our Lord. And we, whether physically by that posture or certainly spiritually by our heart, we confess him, we worship him, we take that place of seeking to honor him, of giving him first place in our lives. And Mary's simple posture there shows that love for Jesus, and that's where it starts. That's where it starts for us if we need to reset, if we want to affirm this pattern and approach, our love for him as the priority in our lives and in our Christmas. It's a priority as we move into a new year. And the adopting of the Mary approach is, secondly, listening to Jesus' word. This is big. She was attentive to it. She was eager for it. She was actively engaged with it, not just sort of passively saying, oh, okay, whatever. It was moving her. It was causing her to interact in her relationship with the Lord. She was listening in a way that she was willing to make adjustments. Is that how it is with you? As you open the Word, as you study the Word, as you gather together with others and exploring the Word, as you hear the Word, as it is preached, listening to the Word. There it is. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The literal Greek word is word. Luke uses that word, word, 47 times in Luke and Acts. It's a major emphasis. The word of Jesus, the word of the gospel, the word of God. And it's especially, yes, it's the totality of God's revealed revelation, but it's special emphasis on the core gospel teaching, the word. To hear, be attentive to, take note of, take in, respond in submission to the word of God and the glorious message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak to women for a minute. Do you know there's something delightful in this text? And the rabbis of that time typically said the men get the word and the ladies not. In fact, maybe they should just be serving. Maybe they just help out. Jesus says, women, you get the word. I give you the word. Hear my word. Be attentive to my word. This is not just for the guys. This is for you. The word is for you. And the way Jesus interacts with Mary here, the way Jesus commends her for her attentiveness to his word, is just a wonderful affirmation of the way Jesus empowers women to hear the word, encourages them to take in the word, equips them to minister in his name in a way that spreads the word. We're all those, men and women, boys and girls, who Jesus gives the word if we say yes to following Jesus. So don't say that's somebody else's thing. That's all of us being given the word. Listen to it. Listen to the word. And lastly, adopting the Mary approach. Choose, it's a choice, there's a heart thing there going on. Choose what is best, choose who is best. We are flooded with options, opportunities, competitors all the time. And we must choose what is best. By the grace of God, by the working of God, as we look to him and ask for him to help us, we choose what is best, we choose who is best. Look with me at Luke 10:42 once again. But one thing is necessary. One thing amongst all the things is really, really important. Although other things may seem important, they pale in comparison to the importance of the one thing. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. I would argue that the idea of the good is not just better, it is best. And that comes somewhat from the Greek language, that oftentimes this comparative in the Greek is a superlative, even with this very language. We can look at other examples of that, which is not just better, but best. But also the idea of good portion is rooted in the Old Testament. If you've read through your Old Testament, you look at Psalm 16:5, Psalm 119:57, Lamentations 3:24. Again, we could list a number of passages as long as your sleeve with this idea of the Lord is my portion. This is choosing the Lord as the best of all other options and continuing to reaffirm that choice as your priority. Mary chose that. And when Jesus says it will not be taken from her, he means I'm not going to take it away now for sure. That, you know, she can still stay here. She's not going to be redirected to go work in the kitchen. But also, it seems to imply that this is sort of Mary's legacy is here as an instructive example for all of us to consider. And even throughout all eternity, for those who are redeemed in Jesus, this wonderful priority of worshiping the Lord will never, ever be taken away. Jesus is affirming the choice Mary makes, and he's putting that before us to say, this is the choice. This portion, to choose the Lord as the most important, is the choice you should make as well. How do we respond to this text, particularly this Christmas, particularly in light of the call to slow down, and perhaps that slowing down include fasting? Let me just ask us to consider a few different things here. What Jesus is saying here is this is what matters most. Whatever the list is you have this Christmas or going into 2022, this is what matters the most. And the first thing I want to ask in terms of your response to Jesus and his word today is, have you received him? Have you received Jesus as Savior and surrendered your life to him as Lord? All the way back in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, there's the simple message of who this one is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, one who saves and rescues us from sin, one who makes possible forgiveness and eternal life, which is why at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, it's repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name, because he is the Savior who gave himself for us. If you haven't taken that step today, please do. And of course, those of us who have, let's be praying for others to hear that message and receive it, even as the shepherds shared that glorious message of good news. But let's look at the Martha approach one last time and the Mary approach one last time and just consider maybe a couple questions related to these. The Martha approach that we should avoid is one of being distracted from time with Jesus, being anxious about the to-do list, missing the priority of his word. And some may say, honestly, that's kind of me. That's oftentimes me. What if I'm entrenched in this? Well, admit it. Lord, help me. I'm entrenched in this. This is me. This is what I do. This is my approach. This is what I'm doing this Christmas. and ask God for help. Don't just sort of say, "Oh, it's not realistic, Pastor Bruce, blah, 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 you can't do that, it's too many things to do." Ask God for help to get out of this pattern, and that he, by his working in grace, might move us into a new pattern of the Mary approach, which is to be expressing love for Jesus, listening to the word of Jesus, choosing Jesus, who is best, and choosing the priority of his word, which is best. So how do you begin doing that? How do you begin doing that if you haven't been doing that, or do it more if you want to do it more and keep doing it? And it's a heart reality. It's a commitment choice. Pray to God for help as you make that commitment, as you start doing it this Christmas. Don't say, "I got too much to do this now," because you won't ever start to do this. Choose this Christmas, "Lord, help me. What is that I need to do to begin?" And then join us in the 21 days of prayer as we begin 2022. Yes, it would be possible to do fasting or 21 days just as a list in a sort of Martha-esque fashion, clicking out one more thing. But that's not what we're asking for. That's not what you want. So ask God to give you the guidance and the empowering that you would choose him and the priority of his word, and make those adjustments as he helps us. You know, the one thing that helps most, as we look at the parable of the sower once again, back in Luke chapter 8, in fighting against the cares of life choking out our fruitfulness, is the word. It is by hearing the word, receiving the word, holding on to the word, continuing in the word, that one becomes fruitful. So we got to fight this fight to continue to hear it, prioritize it, not just to click the box off, but to really embrace the word. And that's what we're praying for in this 21 days of prayer focused. The word in us, the word in this community of believers, the word through us, so that more may hear the message of Jesus and embrace him as Savior and King. So that's why we're throwing out fasting as an option, handled the right way in the right manner. It's a way to help us slow down, yes, but it's a way to help us grow, and especially grow in prayer. It's a way of helping us see the meaning and significance of Jesus' birth and all that it means for us, that he has come. Jesus, he came to that home in Bethany, and he came into our world. In fact, almost kind of picture, hey, what if Jesus came to my house for Christmas? Would I be over there, this and that and that, and I got to listen to that, and would I be like, "Hey, Jesus, I want to listen to you. I want to give attention to your word." In many ways, we're sort of confronted with that, because he has come into our world and saved us. We are his community. Let's give him the attention he deserves. And in 21 days of prayer, we're beginning 2022 with that kind of focus. Join us in that if you can. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage. We see ourselves in it. We see our propensity toward the rush in it. And we see your grace in it. The power of the word. And you gently correcting us to prioritize you and hearing your word. Lord God, I pray that we would take that to heart, those of us who follow you, that you would use that in our lives, in our community of believers, Lord. Even as we serve and we work, we do it all to the glory of God. We would do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. We would do it with that trust and surrender. We would do it in a way that isn't rushed, but is coming from a heart of seeking to honor you. Lord, we pray for anyone here today who has yet to receive you, or anyone hearing these words via the live stream or recording later, Lord. May your spirit do the work, Lord, to bring them to life. May you open their ears, open their heart, and help them to turn and receive Jesus, who's the only way in truth and life, the only way that one can have forgiveness and enter into that reality of forever and ever having that portion, which is the Lord himself. We praise you. We pray this in his name. Amen.